From the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, now streaming only on Paramount Plus.
Yes!
Should you ever set foot outside of the hotel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow. Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.
Welcome, each and every one of you, to the Flagship Podcast. We are back. Chip Brown, Eric Henry, Horns247.com, the Flagship Podcast. Keeping you up to date on all things spring football. The end of the Texas women's basketball season. How about Texas baseball? Like, I don't think Texas fans know what to do with Texas baseball. 1 minute they're looking like they don't know, they're looking like they don't practice, but by God, they've won all three of their Big 12 series and they're 6-3 and tied for second place behind first place OU, with lowly BYU coming up this weekend. And Texas softball, here we go, kids. Number 5 Texas hosting number 1 OU. We will get into all of it, of course. I got to check in with my man, Eric Henry. We were down on campus today. Full disclosure, we are recording on Tuesday, April 2nd. Steve Sarkisian gave us a little update. We're nearing the midpoint of spring football. What are we, 7 of 15 now, Eric?
7 of 15, Chip Brown.
7 of 15. So we'll have some little mid-spring football thoughts for you, but let's jump right into, oh, and by the way, the Steve Sarkisian press conference was cut a little bit short today because, as Eric pointed out in his story, Sarkisian was late by 19 minutes, and they were introducing the new men's swim coach, Bob Bowman, replacing the irreplaceable 15-time national championship winning Texas men's swim coach, the legendary Eddie Reese, who Chris Del Conte calls Yoda for good reason. Dude's 82 and is like a savant when it comes to swimming. So welcome, Bob Bowman. Former coach to Michael Phelps, just won the national championship at Arizona State. So the last guy we got from Arizona State, Steve Patterson, was a disaster. So Bob Bowman, I'm sure you are going to be 100 times better than Steve Patterson. All right, E. Henry. Let's start off with a little sizzle to the Texas spring football notebook that you wrote about, Ryan Wingo. So Steve Sarkisian is asked about freshmen standing out, the early enrollees. And Steve Sarkisian kind of meanders, oh, they're all looking good. Well, Ryan Wingo, the 6'3", 5-star, long-armed wide receiver, Eric, sounds like it's starting to come together for Ryan Wingo, the wide receiver.
Chip, before I get to those comments, you know, really quick, I just loved the story. You were there for the swimming press conference where, you know, talking about the new head coach getting the opportunity. He said, yeah, I got a national championship to win, but why would I not want to be the premier job in America? So, I mean, that just goes to speak of what that program has been over the past 4 decades. So had to just note that, even though I didn't stick around for the press conference, I was following you on Twitter and saw that. And like, it just speaks to where Longhorn Athletics are right now. Let's use that as a segue into spring ball. Ryan Wingo.
How about real quick? How about Eddie Reese taking a national championship team to the White House under every president since Jimmy Carter.
Oh, come on. That's a hell of a, I mean, that is, what do you say to that? That's been here
46 years.
I mean, amazing. That is amazing. That is amazing. So kudos to Eddie Reese on a legendary, as we do it, justice career. With you've talked about it, they're on the 40 acres there at Belmont Hall for Sark's presser, which, as you mentioned, was a little condensed, but with good reason. Of course, the introductory of the new swim coach, but also Sark's practice ran a little bit late. He said, hey, you know, the guys had a couple days off for Easter, so we had to get back at it, have a tough, hard physical practice. And when he was asked about the freshman, you know, which freshman may be stepping up and exhibiting some leadership qualities, leadership material, Sark said, you know, hey, no one's really, you know, stepping up in that regard just yet, but a guy who's doing all the right things. And Chip, I think, I don't know how you feel about it, but in my mind, that's one of the things. I don't care what level of athletics you're covering, that's kind of the benchmark in my mind for a true freshman, regardless of sport. If they can come in and hit the ground running and not look like they are out of place, that's, in my mind, that's the thing that, you know, the antennas go off in your head. But Steve Sarkisian aside, that's Ryan Wingo. He's starting to make some plays, starting to show that he belongs. And, you know, I didn't put this in the notebook because I'm saving this for a story that I will have out hopefully tomorrow, if not at the latest Thursday, just on some of the young receivers in that room and what it's going to take. I asked Steve Sarkisian what it could possibly take to expand that receiver rotation. We've talked about the past 2 weeks. Sark, in his first few years, has been notoriously tight with that rotation. You know, three players for the most part last year. Jonte Cook was knocking on the door as a fourth, and even talk about going back into prior years when it just was Xavier Worthy and Casey Kane, right? Maybe a little bit of Jordan Winnington as well. So that receiver rotation notoriously tight, but it sounds like Ryan Wingo, Chip, is emerging. You feel like you know Isaiah Bond is going to be there. You feel like you know Matthew Golden is going to be there. Silas Bolden yet to arrive. We get here in the summer. It's interesting. I don't want to just write off Silas Bolden just yet. He's been a productive receiver at the FBS level and at, you know, power conference in the Pac-12, but it sounds like he's going to have some ground to make up between Jonte Cook and Ryan Wingo, who are already here. I mean, that's something to keep an eye on.
Yeah. I get the feeling Silas Bolden is going to compete in the slot with DeAndre Moore.
Sure.
And that's going to be really interesting because I think I've told you and said on this flagship podcast, I really like Silas Bolden's film. I mean, he may be a smaller receiver, but he is tough. He's tough to bring down. He doesn't shy away from contact. And he knows, I mean, after he's a grad transfer, I mean, he'll have 1 year of eligibility at Texas. He knows what he's doing. And he should be in the mix in the return game. So I'm high on Silas Bolden, but I'm also high on my man Aaron Butler. I was hoping I'd hear a little something about the man who looks like he's just gliding across the grass on skates. But we got time for that. We got time for that. Spring game's not till April 20th, Eric. But Ryan Wingo, that's good news. We know the guy's athletic. He's got length. He's, you know, I've said he's probably the heir apparent to Matthew Golden, or they're going to possibly rotate. We don't know. You got to earn Steve Sarkisian's trust. You got to learn the totality of the offense, all the concepts. You have to know how you fit in. You can't just learn your plays. But Ryan Wingo, that was a big-time recruiting get. This is a five-star for a reason. Missouri put all their full-court press on to get him. So that's good news for Texas fans, because obviously you mentioned Isaiah Bond, Matthew Golden. Those guys have already put it in the books at Alabama and Houston, respectively. We think Jonte Cook and DeAndre Moore are in pretty good shape as second-year guys in the Texas system as returnees. I keep hearing Ryan Niblett is good but raw. So somehow he's got to refine the technique and the route running, or maybe he's got to understand the full concept of the offense a little bit better. But That's going to be a fun one to watch all through the summer into fall camp. But that's the first bit of sugar from Steve Sarkisian for Ryan Wingo. So that's good. He's given some sugar to Trey Moore, Andrew Makuba as well, if we're looking at newcomers, and he's given a lot of sugar to the returning guys, in terms of leadership, the veterans, the usual suspects, Jake Majors, Calvin Banks, now DJ Campbell in that mix, Baron Sorrell, and, you know, Michael Taft, David Benda, Mo Blackwell, he's given some sugar to as well. So, interesting, Eric. I asked Steve Sarkisian about, okay, midpoint of spring football concerns, maybe three areas that Texas can or needs work. And it was funny because he said, well, if you'd asked me a couple practices ago, I would have told you the running game. But then the running game took off. And then he said, if you asked me a couple practices ago, I would have said inconsistency in the passing game. But then the passing game took off. So it sounds like he's concerned about the interior defensive line to stop the run. And that's kind of where he is.
Okay. So, and I know we're going to touch on it in you know, take it or leave it. Chip, it's spring. It's right to address it. I don't want to sound the alarm for a couple of reasons. One, we knew, and maybe we, meaning, you know, those who cover this team, haven't done a good enough job emphasizing the fact that nothing's going to compare to Tavondre Sweat and Byron Murphy, right? Now,
gold standard.
Now, the flip side of that is, and I'm glad you used the word gold standard, Steve Sarkisian and Pete Kutowski obviously have a standard that they expect their run defense to perform to. And while it may not necessarily be those two guys, I'm sure that they want to address this now so that they're not trying to play catch up on the back end come fall practice, or worst case scenario, you feel as if you don't have it under control when the season opens at home, EKR, Texas Memorial Stadium against Colorado State. So that's my way of saying, Sark did say that, hey, the run game initially wasn't popping off the way he would have liked. And if you listen to and I implore anyone to just read what I wrote or listen to the press conference.
Play the Sarkisian audio if we want to.
Well, how about this? Let me tee it up and you get it to the audio, and I'll kind of, you know, tee us up here. If you listen to what Steve said, he didn't necessarily say that the run game itself wasn't performing well as much as it was the timing of the run game, right? So when you get into that, what you're thinking about, at least those of us who've covered football for a while, is CJ Baxter, and I don't want to put words in his mouth, but are CJ Baxter and Jaden Blue reading the timing of the offensive lineman's blocks? Are they, you know, is Jake Majors or, you know, DJ Campbell or whoever it may be, right? Are they, you know, sealing a guy off instead of maybe just running through someone? And you have backs. So again, one of the things that Chip, I think we truly took for granted with Jonathan Brooks was just how seamless his transition from Bijan Robinson to JB in terms of those little things, reading the blocks, making the first guy miss, et cetera. So those things in the timing of the run game played a difference. He didn't say that the defense was stuck in the run game. He said it looked like some of the timing stuff was off, right? So to flip it forward, and now he's done with the run defense, we'll see. So that hopefully that gives you enough time to tee it up, and you can listen to Steve's words exactly.
All right, here is Steve Sarkisian. When I asked him maybe three things you feel the team needs to make the most progress at the midpoint of spring.
I would have said coming through practice after practice five, I would have said the run game. I was like, man, we need to get going. And then the last two practices, the run game has really started to come to life. And so that's been definitely encouraging. And that I would probably have said the same thing, just kind of about the consistency in the passing game. But the last two practices, that has shown up. And so I just think that that's a little bit offensively of the byproduct of those guys working through base installation and then finding rapport, run timing, but also rapport, quarterback, receivers, tight ends. You know, naturally, defensively, you know, it's tough to tell because we're not tackling as much. But naturally, we want to get more balls out on the ground. We've created a few interceptions. But naturally, you know, one area that I know we want to really improve upon this season is creating those turnovers. And so that's always the challenge there. And then when I tell you that the run game is getting better on offense, well, I think we need to shore some things up run defense wise, right? If the run game's starting to come to life offensively, then where are the issues defensively? That why is that occurring?
Sure. All right. So there you go, Steve Sarkisian, midpoint of spring. Trey Wisner. Quintravious on your roster. We call him Trey. Trey Wisner is a guy who popped last year, Eric. And, you know, could he be the Keelan Robinson of this season?
That is a great question, Chip. And in my mind, I think the expectations should be really high for Trey Wisner because he's kind of, and I've written about it and likened him maybe a little bit to Roschon Johnson as a guy who has made a name for himself on special teams, willing to do those things, understands the value in it, but also talented as a running back. Heard Steve Sarkisian talk about he's running well, catching the ball in the backfield well. Sounds a lot like Roschon Johnson to me. And then you talk about the role last year. Keelan Robinson had is that third guy, right? Because, of course, you had JB / CJ Baxter as the RB1s. You had Jaden Blue as the running back, too. Keelan Robinson played a very specified role on special teams, a myriad of roles on special teams, but also out of the backfield, getting a carry here or there, you know, getting still involved in the pass game. The more backs, the better in my mind, Chip. Well, I'm going to give you something that I would be really interested to see. And I just talked about this a little bit with, you know, Jeff Howe. Texas has about a 2-year sample size, Chip. I wrote about it when I first joined the site, that they've struggled in short yardage situations, right? And that it was a struggle in 2022. And then you fast forward to 2023. While it wasn't specifically short yardage, we saw a myriad of things.
First and goal from the one.
It felt like, Chip, did it feel like to you like Steve Sarkisian was just trying to find out what would stick in goal line? Because one week it was the Savion Red package. The next week it was the Tavondre Sweat Byron Murphy package. The next week it was we're going to pass. The next week, I would love to see Trey Wisner. If, let's just say, CJ and Jaden, you know, Jaden's obviously a little bit of a smaller back, but I'd love to see Trey Wisner, someone who's got that smash mouth mentality on special teams, say, I'm going to be that guy who can be that short yardage back. You don't have to be 6 foot 250 to be a good short yardage back. And some of that is timing, knowing how to run in those. I'd love to see him carve out a role in that as well, because that's only going to benefit him to see more time on the field in the fall.
Yeah. You have to run violently. And look, the offensive line has got to be there too. Obviously in the Oklahoma game, Jake Majors went down. Second string center Cole Hudson was out with a knee injury. So you got to third team center Connor Robertson, who did the best he could. And that's why I think Hayden Connor is getting a lot of work at center, so that they'll have Jake Majors, Cole Hudson, and Hayden Connor if they need him there. And I think they may need him there. So. Trey Wisner, definitely a name to keep an eye on. Steve Sarkisian also called him one of the hardest workers on the team. Shows up every day to practice with max energy and great attitude guy. Steve Sarkisian was asked about the portal and if he's ready to share what positions he might be shopping for in the portal. He wasn't ready to share. I think we've talked about it here on the Flagship Podcast, keep your eye on the interior defensive line in the portal. If any of those guys in maize and blue are not happy with the coaching change of Jim Harbaugh, which happened after the portal closed, the initial window closed. Of course, the portal will open again May 1st through 15th. So after spring football. Any thoughts on that, Eric, on the portal?
I actually really liked Steve Sarkisian's answer. And as you said, listen, if there's a clear need, you have to go out and address it, right? And what I'll be interested in, I think maybe this is just being on the ground here in Austin, I'm really intrigued to see how some of these position battles play out. And inevitably, there's going to be attrition. There are going to be guys who are on this roster right now who choose to enter the portal. That is, there is no being wishy-washy about that, right? So I'm really interested in that. But the part of Steve Sarkisian's answer that I think really was interesting, Chip, and stick with me here. Again, Jeff mentioned this on the previous show, and I actually remembered. I think it's pertinent here. When Urban Meyer talked about at the end of his run at Florida, where he kind of got bogged down in recruiting talent as opposed to guys who were culture fits, right? Just trying to beef up the talent. And Steve Sarkisian said, listen, while we may or may not make a move in the portal, and I'm paraphrasing here, we don't want to take anybody because we've developed a certain kind of culture here. And especially in the second window, Chip, when you have a guy who is leaving a program after spring, right? That's who you're essentially acquiring. And it's not like you have 5, 6, 7 months to recruit them like you would recruit a high school kid. You're trying to get to know them in the span of 7 days.
Speed dating,
right? You don't want to, in my mind, the risk reward of bringing in someone who may be that fit versus someone who doesn't get the culture. I think that's real. And I'm just, again, let's stick with interior defensive line, right? I think this is a fair and valid question to ask. If you know you have a clear need, okay, you got to go out and address it. If what we just talked about with the run defense and start feeling like, you know, guys are getting the upper hand and it's not improving in the next 7 to 10, 14 days, it would be malpractice if he didn't go out and address it. However, if it's a so-so, a 50-50 thing, I don't know about you, Chip, but I'd rather turn to a Zach Swanson, a Sadira Mitchell, a Jare Bledsoe, a Aaron Bryant and say, let's go.
Like, yeah, get him up in the bullpen.
Let's go. Here's your opportunity.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they got to get some things figured out. Sadir Mitchell's got to get his weight back in order. I wrote about this a little bit in the Insider last week. His kind of falling off the wagon coincides with when Bo Davis left. And then it doesn't take long for the big fellas to gain weight. And if they don't have a position coach checking on them, it can get away. Now, that's some of that's got to be on the responsibility of the player, because if you're looking at this spring as a big old opportunity, you got to take care of yourself. And now he's, you know, Sadir Mitchell, who I think can be a good player if he's committed. And but we know how hard it is for the big guys to lose weight once they get it on. So now he brought that number down. You know, when he came in as a freshman, he was big old boy and got it down to 355, and then it went back up to 372. So he'll get it done. But yeah, I mean, look, I think you're only going in the portal, and Steve Sarkisian has shown the last couple of years, you're only going in the portal if you're bringing in guys who are a clear upgrade from where you are, or a upgrade to your depth, because we know on the defensive line, you can't have enough. And so we'll see, but I'm intrigued. All right, Eric, make sure, you know, we always sign off by saying, we'll see you over at horns247.com. But if you're not an annual member at horns247.com, with all the excitement and everything that's going on with Texas football right now, coming off their first conference championship since 09, and we're going to get into this, some of these point spreads here in a minute, but there's excitement in 2024 to the point where we always used to talk about rebuilding, or, okay, that was a window, now the next window will come in 2 years. No, Texas is at the point now where they're expected to contend for the SEC title in 2024 and contend for the college football playoff. So you need to get over to horns247.com, get all the intel on the team and recruiting from, you know, Hank South and Jordan Scruggs, of course, team reporting from Eric and Jeff Howe and myself, you know, basketball, baseball, softball. We got it all for you. Women's basketball. In fact, we'll ease into a little Texas basketball here. Eric, you've got the McDonald's All-American games tonight, the boys and girls on ESPN and ESPN2. Is that right? Is that what I'm looking at here? But Trey Johnson, the five-star, is in the McDonald's game. And of course, Vic Schaefer has two top 10 recruits and 6'1" forward Justice Carlton, who is kind of a Leah Moore starter kit, maybe finishes a little better with contact around the rim, and 6 foot combo guard Jordan Lee, who can score from all three levels and is a really good candidate to take over where Shaylee Gonzalez left off, as she departs after 6 years of college basketball. Eric, you had a chance to talk to Trey Johnson and Justice Carlton and Jordan Lee as they prepared for this McDonald's game. Sounds like they're all excited about their Longhorns future.
Chip, I'm going to start with the women here. Listen, Chip, I was so impressed with, you know, we talk with 16, 17, 18-year-old kids for a living, right? Young people coming in as freshmen. I couldn't have been more impressed with Justice Carlton and Jordan Lee as far as their, not as their composure, but they just sound, they sound like a kid that Vic Schaefer would recruit and want to Texas. I'm just talking about their makeup, their composure, their demeanor. So we're just so impressed with how they handled it. It was a quick 9-minute session, and the girls got, quite frankly, a lot of questions and good answers and deaf answers, smart answers, not just, I'm happy to be, I mean, blown away by them. So want to start there. But yeah, I think especially talk about, you know, just calls me like a Leah Moore starter kid. You're talking about two players with the top 10 ranking by Hoop Girls, which is the best in terms of, you know, women's high school basketball recruiting service at this time, ranking service at this time. And that's just a coup, because you take a look, and I don't have the exact numbers on me. I wrote it in the recap that I wrote, but if memory serves me correct, Madison Booker was like the number 12 ranked player. I know both of them, Lee and Carlton, are higher than basically everyone. I think Rory Harmon was like 8 or something like that. So that just goes to show in terms of the level of play and level of talent. It's there. Justice Carlton, the daughter of a former Baylor player as well. So really excited to see what they bring to the roster. You talked about Lee in terms of kind of filling that void that Shaylee Gonzalez inevitably leaves in terms of her departure. So got a lot there. And then with Trey Johnson, something I will say, Chip, that I did not get to ask the fine folks at McDonald's. And listen, for someone who is, you know, I'm not a big fast food guy, but I love a McChicken, some hot, you know, McDonald's fries every once in a while. But the service is great there in the restaurants. You know, the moderator chose to take a pass on some of my hard-hitting Big J journalism questions, Chip. I did ask twice.
How dare he?
So just to give the listeners and viewers some background, so how we were able to ask questions, it was not like this. You know, typically if we're doing a Zoom presser for Steve Sarkisian or Rodney Terry, you know, the SIDs will open it up and say, all right, put your hand there if you want a question, and then they'll open our mic, right? No, we typed our question into a chat, and then the moderator would ask. I asked twice, Trey Johnson, you know, wasn't verbatim, but essentially, with the G League no longer being an option, are you for sure Texas? And then if so, what are you most excited about, you know, as far as getting the 40 acres and working on your game? They did not ask Trey Johnson that question. They did ask my question to both Jordan and Justice about getting and being excited about the team's Elite Eight run and playing with Vic Schaefer, but they did not ask that to Trey. So Trey was not directly asked that question, but he did speak in the affirmative about projecting forward to his Texas future. So that's the best we've got. I'll have to take it that he will arrive. And for all intents and purposes, that's my expectation as well. When I spoke with Rodney Terry about a few months ago, Chip, when the rumors kind of, you know, came about the dissolution of G League Ignite, Rodney Terry said that, hey, you know, we spoke with Trey and his family and they understand the value, Chip, of a home state kid who wants to be a Longhorn and well after basketball stops bouncing. And just for the record, quick sidebar, I do agree, you know, whatever the three, four, I don't know what the initial salary is for G League Ignite. I should know this and I apologize. I don't have it offhand. Whatever money that is, Chip, for 1 year, you will make that money back 10 times over having a four-year experience or whatever it is, just an experience here at UT being a home state kid. So completely agree with it there. But yeah, to your question, Chip, it does sound, as much as we were able to gather from Trey Johnson's comments, that he's locked in on being a Longhorn in 2024.
Well, he and Cam Scott are impressive. Both, you know, Trey Johnson, what, 6'6", shooting guard. Cam Scott, 6'5", shooting guard. You've got 6'9", power forward, Nick Cody. But he's coming off an injury. I don't think we know when he's going to be medically cleared to – you know, start participating full go for Texas going into next season. But not shockingly, the portal, Texas's, you know, Chris Johnson, who played in 17 games, 6'5 guard, you know, has entered the portal, joining Gavin Perryman and Alex Onamekwa to, you know, seldom used bench players. So, you know, I checked with a couple sources. They're not surprised by the Chris Johnson decision, in part because here comes Trey Johnson and Cam Scott. And we know Kendall Weaver is becoming more and more of a factor for Texas basketball. So, you wrote about it in the Insider last week. Again, another reason to become an annual member at horns247.com. So you get the Insider every Thursday morning on, you know, just a great Insider notes package on, you know, football, basketball, recruiting, and the Stampede, which is all recruiting on Mondays. But it's a pretty good list Texas is looking for in the portal: point guard, a four, another five, and a big wing. So we'll see. You've written about it extensively and have done a nice job. So we'll continue to monitor that. Texas women, you know, ended their season in the Elite Eight. Excuse me, third Elite Eight in the last 4 years. Vic Schaefer, you know, with an outstanding job. And then they run into NC State and Zaza Smith. Oh my Lord. Can she ball? And I mean, she was fearless. She hit her first 5 3-pointers. Vic went to a really interesting 3-2 zone with Jockalengam, Wen, and Tonda at the top. And it was a problem for NC State. Maybe should have tried that a little bit earlier in the game, before NC State ripped off, you know, that run in the second quarter that got them up double digits. But look, NC State played great. Texas missed 21 layups in the game. That cannot happen, folks. You can't miss 21 layups in a Elite Eight NCAA tournament game. And still Texas got it down to six in the third quarter. And then really couldn't get any closer than seven the rest of the way. Eric we just mentioned that the gals coming into Vic's program, and they get everyone back except for Shaylee Gonzalez and Kati Fi.
Chip, again, and listen, you did a great job kind of summarizing that game. It really felt like every time Texas had a chance to cut into that lead, you know, inevitably something would happen. And give credit to NC State because they played a hell of a game. I don't want to make it seem like Texas just gave it away. You talked about the missed opportunities. That certainly plays a big factor, but they had the Wolfpack had a great game. But I just can't help but think about, you know, first off, your heart breaks for Shaylee Gonzalez in her final game. She didn't score a point. Fouls out. You know, I think she went.
And she was so big in the win over Gonzaga.
I think she was 0 of 6 or 0 of 7 shooting, something to that effect. So your heart breaks for her to have to go out that way. But the future, Justice Carlson, one of the things she said is that, hey, I think Maddie Booker is going to get back to playing her natural position of forward. And Rory Harmon, Coach Rory, is going to put down the clipboard and do what, you know, she does best. No disrespect to her coaching skills, but she's going to be out there on the court, right? You got to look out for this team. And listen, Chip, let's just project a little forward here. Caitlin Clark's leaving the college game. Angel Reese has a decision to make. Paige Beckers, I believe, already announced she's coming back, if memory serves me correct. But, you know, South Carolina, Dawn Staley, you know, she's going to reload. I mean, she's not going anywhere. But in my mind, and it's kind of was my feeling entering this tournament, that it's wide open for a Texas team to make a run next year. And I think getting these additions, and we'll see what comes of the offseason, but getting Rory Harmon back and Maddie Booker, I mean, you got to project forward and feel great about Vic Schaefer's club.
Yeah. I mean, Aaliyah Moore, Amina Muhammad. I'd love to see him find more ways to use Jaka Lenga, Muenantanda, and maybe she's the one who takes over for Shaylee Gonzalez. She is really long at 6'2" on the perimeter, and really good athlete. So, yeah, it's going to be fun to watch that Texas women's program under Vic Schaefer. All right, let's a couple quick mentions here. We mentioned Texas baseball. I don't know that we can give them much more love than that. They've won each of their Big 12 series. I don't know how at times, and it's some days the hitting shows up, some days it doesn't, and the pitching has been all over the place. But again, 6-3 in Big 12 play, one game out of first place. Softball, really tough series at Oklahoma State last weekend. They made really one mistake in the third game, the deciding game. They had a fielding error at third. They had a hit batter and then a three-run bomb. I mean, it is that margin for error, right? And they lost 3-0. So, I mean, the pitching for Texas outside of that was outstanding, but the pitching for Oklahoma State was also outstanding. And now we'll see with Texas at home against Oklahoma, the three-time defending national champs. Mike White has said, we got to catch them. You know, we played them for the national championship 2 years ago, and that was one of the best OU teams of all time. And so, you know, Oklahoma lost to Louisiana, and that's a team that Texas beat. So OU's one loss is to a team Texas beat. We'll see. But it's a big series, and it's going to be exciting. All right, Eric, you ready? Unless you have any softball thoughts, you ready to get to some take it or leave it?
No, let's jump into it, TB. Let's do it.
All right. Then don't go anywhere, kids. We'll be right back with some take it or leave it.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does. 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jeremy Renner returns to Paramount Plus for a brand new season of the original hit series, Mayor of Kingstown.
My job is to create a balance, avoid a war.
From executive producer Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone.
There's some new players in town, and they brought the flag.
And Antoine Fuqua, director of Training Day.
I know it's always been a war zone, Mike, but this is next level.
The mayor is back in business.
Are you warning me?
You're going to find out.
Mayor of Kingstown, new season streaming June 2nd, exclusively on Paramount Plus.
And if you're watching us on the Horns 24/7 YouTube channel, we will roll right into some take it or leave it. Eric, I am dealing first. Your biggest concern at the midpoint of spring football is the interior defensive line. Take it or leave it.
Chip, I am going to leave it. If we're having this conversation in fall practice, I would take it. But as I said, this is the time when I think you get a little experimental and you kind of try out some guys at different spots and you get a feel, especially an interior defensive line spot, DT spot, that is kind of being revamped. I'm not ready to go there just yet. And I will, because I won't just leave it and not give an answer. Chip, my biggest concern at the midpoint of spring football is, call me prisoner of the moment, when you're staying healthy for 15 games, I think that's going to be my biggest concern for a while. Not that Arch Manning, we all know the potential and whatnot, but this is the year for Quinn Ewers. Everything needs to come together. So I think that is my concern, is just Quinn Ewers' health. I feel like that's going to be an overarching concern of mine just throughout the season, Chip. But what says you?
Okay. Yeah, and I think I will take this. I will take this. Biggest concern at the midpoint of spring football, we are still in the way too early stage. But if we've got to pick something, I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt to the Texas safety position, simply because of the glowing terms we've heard from Steve Sarkisian about Andrew Makuba, the Clemson transfer, as well as team sources talking up early enrollee freshman Xavier Filsimi, who sounds like he's on the same track as Derek Williams. And Derek Williams didn't get here until June and still ended up as a primary position player in the safety rotation. So, and like you said, just because it's a concern, the interior defensive line, I think they're going to be okay with Alfred Collins, Vernon Broughton, and Tia Savea. The question is, who's 4, 5, and 6 in that equation? That is, should be, you know, part of the beauty of spring is the position battles for those depth positions. Those players are going to play a lot of snaps. They're going to play, you know, 4, 5, and 6 are probably going to play, you know, 250 snaps. So, or at least number 4 will, but I'll take that one, Eric. All right. It or leave it. Number 2.
Take it or leave it. Number 2, we're heading to Vegas. Early odds in Vegas. Got it right. Making Texas a 2.5-point favorite at the Big House on September 7th. Chip Brown, take it or leave it.
Hey, man. We saw what this Texas team did in Tuscaloosa. You give them all summer to prepare. And this is a Michigan team that just lost at least 18 players who were at the NFL Combine. They lost their head coach. They lost some position coaches. We don't know who the quarterback's going to be. If you're going to play Michigan in the Big House coming off a national championship, this is the time to play the Wolverines, because they've got so many question marks, including a new head coach trying to put his own stamp on this Michigan football team. Now, the Michigan defense looks good, but they just suffered a really costly injury in spring ball to their stud safety. So yikes for Michigan. I mean, that's really, really tough news for Michigan. That player's probably not going to be in the game on September 7th. Another sort of break for Texas. So I'm going to say that I take it. I take this. Vegas has got it right, Eric. Texas has suddenly been really good on the road under Steve Sarkisian after not being able to finish games under Steve Sarkisian. What say you?
No disrespect to the defending national championship round, but I think Texas has the quarterback advantage. I think Texas has the head coaching advantage. And I think Texas has, and I hate psychoanalyzing, but I think they have the want to advantage. Coming off of the way they ended the year, you got to make a statement. And what better way to make a statement? Going to Big House. If it were, 5 points, I'd be like, okay, that's aggressive. 2.5, I'm good with that.
Bert Auburn, baby. Bert Auburn. We saw him have a great end to his season last year. So, Bert Auburn's been on the big stage. Don't forget about the special teams with Jeff Banks and, of course, a punter to be named later, Michael Kern, who will get here in June. So, all right, take it or leave it. Number three, Eric. Are you dealing to me or am I dealing to you? I'm dealing to you.
Yes.
Okay. All right, early odds in Vegas got it right, making Texas a 9.5-point favorite against the Boomers in the Cotton Bowl this upcoming October. Take it or leave it.
I'm leaving that one. 9.5 is a lot. That is a lot. I think Texas will be a better program than OU, regardless of whether they're playing the Big 12. Or now, of course, I'm playing the SEC. I think Texas just has more coming back. And there's more to like about Texas in my mind. But 9.5, that's a bit much. I'd cap it at 7. How about that, Chip?
Yeah. Yeah. And even this game, the bigger the point spread, sometimes the more dangerous the game, because you're telling one side that they don't have a chance. And that's usually when that side puts it all together. We've seen it both ways in this series, but Texas was supposed to win last year and they got ambushed. And so I agree with you, Eric. I'm going to leave this. 9.5 points, a little too much at this point. I think Jackson Arnold's going to be better than that. What, 3-interception, 2-touchdown game he had in the Alamo Bowl against the Alamo Bowl loss to Arizona. Jackson Arnold, who OU coaches wanted to keep. So Dylan Gabriel left to go to Oregon. All right, kids. We appreciate you joining us for the flagship podcast and a little conversation about the Texas Longhorns. Am I leaving anything else out? Eric, is there?
It feels that way, right? Because we're at 47 minutes, and usually we are right up around an hour mark. But nah, I think all right, it's the week that was. I think we're in good shape, CB.
Okay. All right. Well, interesting weekend ahead. This will be a significant scrimmage for the Longhorns on Saturday. They're getting, from what I hear, it's going to be the closest thing to the spring game where they're tackling and full contact. So this will be a really good opportunity for some of these players who are trying to make their way into the two deep. And we'll have a full report on it in next week's flagship podcast, as well as Eric's going to give you a little breakdown of the McDonald's games, you know? Okay, I will too. Listen. We appreciate y'all. So until next time, you know where we'll meet. We'll meet at horns247.com. And the other thing about becoming an annual member at horns247.com, in addition to all the incredible content that we produce, our staff, you also get VIP access to every team site on the preeminent 24/7 sports network. So you want to read up on Michigan this summer? Come on over to horns247.com. But as an annual member, annual members get the VIP access to all the team sites. Plus, we're talking about like 2 cups of coffee a month. Come on. So till next time, we'll see you over at horns247.com. For Eric Henry, I'm Chip Brown. Stay safe and keep the faith.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Dan Orlovsky, are you still a Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback available in the draft guy?
I think the three things that make it stand out for me are, number one, I think his ball placement versus man coverage is the best in the draft. Every quarterback in the NFL is accurate. He's got the best on tape. Number two, most transferable stuff to the NFL. And then I think the third thing is pocket peace.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.